You know, yesterday we didn't finish. We had a testimony left over from the speaking concerning the binding and releasing prayers of the twos and threes. So how about we can just give those two sisters, Chrissy and Crystal, an opportunity to share their testimony.
Amen. Hello, Saints. I'm Chrissy.
I'm Crystal.
And we just wanted to share a little bit of our testimony concerning the binding and releasing of the twos and threes.
Amen.
So Crystal and I became prayer companions because we were both just very burdened for these two new ones we had. But through time, prayer, and fellowship, we actually felt comfortable opening up our hearts and our personal situations. There would be times that we would pray once a week, but then it increased to two times a week, three times a week, depending what was happening. I felt comfortable enough to contact Crystal, like, hey, I'm about to go see this new one, or I'm about to go do this situation. I just need your covering. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, praying in twos, the Lord has never answered so many of my prayers when I prayed with Crystal versus when I prayed on my own. Mm-hmm. And I think this just really highlights what our brothers were sharing yesterday about the harmonious prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He asked, what is harmony? Harmony is the real expression of the oneness among the Lord's children. Such prayers are sweet music to the Father's ear.
Amen.
And so, amen.
Amen. So, just a little testimony of the binding and releasing. So, my grandma was diagnosed with liver cancer back in March. And so, upon hearing this, what my parents had told me, I contacted Chrissy, and we immediately began to pray for her.
Amen.
And one of our key prayers was that she would be saved.
Amen.
Because her and her entire family, except for my dad, one of her many children, was the only believer, only one in the church life.
Amen.
And so we were desperately praying for her salvation.
Amen.
But at the same time, there was a lot of opposition because my dad's siblings were very upset if we tried to pray for her or minister some life or even preach the gospel to her. And even in one instance, they brought monks to her house and they were practicing like Buddhist rituals and practices. And it was very strange for me and my dad and my family because we realized that there was no life there. It was all dark and deadness. And so at that time, we just began to realize that, you know, my grandma's not getting better and her condition was worsening. And so I told Chrissy, like, we need to be more desperate to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And Chrissy, as a prayer partner, was very diligent, very persistent, very faithful to pray with me, despite all the frustration and the hindrances. Even in one instance, I was just really frustrated at the Lord because we'd been praying for so long. And I was like, Lord, your promise of household salvation, why have you not done this yet?
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't realize that, you know, the Lord is very sovereign in his timing and his arrangement, and it was just
mm-hmm.
not the time yet. A week and a half before she passed away, it was right before semi-annual, me and my dad went to go visit her. And as we were just there with her, you know, she was in her bed, my dad felt at peace, and he told me, Crystal, I think it's the time, you know, to pray with your grandma.
Yeah.
And so just in Chinese, I led her to pray, Lord, I love you. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I even called on the name of the Lord many times, and she just simply followed. And you realize, wow, at that moment, the enemy was bounded,
Amen.
And my grandma was finally released.
Amen.
After 87 years of her religious concepts, her thoughts, her struggles, she was finally at peace.
Amen.
And she was just oddly cooperative in this
Amen.
Way. And you're like, who else can do this?
Amen.
And you just realize that in the outline, the brothers mentioned that we should not give up on anyone.
Amen.
You know, that the Lord, we had to go to the Lord again and again.
Amen.
And we were just so persistent in prayer and just realized that, wow, thank you, Lord, for your faithful and sovereign arrangement.
Amen. Yeah, it was such a sweet experience to be able to enter in to what was on Crystal's heart and this prayer burden, and even how sovereign and faithful the Lord is, and how he wouldn't let our dear sister go until she received him as her life. And our brothers yesterday also highlighted that the second easiest thing to attack is our prayer time.
Right.
So at the end of our prayer time, Crystal and I would always pray, Lord, we consecrate these prayer times to you. Lord, guard our prayer times. Lord, we don't want to get too busy for our prayer time.
Amen.
And the Lord was the real faithful one in us to continue to be proactive and consistent in these prayers.
Amen.
So hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord for the binding and releasing prayers of the twos and threes.
Praise the Lord for the binding and loosing prayers in the twos and threes. Are you impressed with God's way? God's way is with the twos and threes. Right? I think you can see, be impressed with 2 points in their testimony. First, they were persistent, even proactive in keeping their prayer time. Okay? And through this, Satan was bound, and the one whom they were praying for was released. Amen. So now we're going to come to the next message in this line. This is on the practicing of the twos and threes on page 47 in your binder. This is message 4. And when we turn to it, let's read the overall title together and then the title of this message. Practicing the twos or threes. Preaching the gospel in twos or threes. Amen. Preaching the gospel in twos and threes. Right? When you hear, let's go preach the gospel, or preach the gospel, what is the first thing you think? Or what are the kinds of things that you think? Right? And I hope we can be impressed to see that it is a matter in the twos and threes, right? There's many concepts about the gospel, right? For one thing, even growing up in the Southeast United States, one thing that's very common, and even out here, are really large gospel forums, right? Or these large events in stadiums, right? We have some in SoCal, right? Harvest. Even before that, we had Billy Graham's Crusades. These are very common, and even we have televangelists, and if you turn onto certain TV stations, at certain hours of the day, there are ones who are preaching the gospel, right? And these are all wonderful in that whenever Christ is preached, praise the Lord, right? In this kind of preaching, should somebody get saved, what is the result, right? And what are they brought into? Okay? And on the other hand, you may have perhaps one brother, okay, who is very particularly gifted in the gospel, okay? He has a strong spirit, and he has a commission from the Lord and a real conviction to preach the gospel. And you could consider such one even a super Christian, right? And such a one can go out and get people saved left and right. They just have that gift, okay? But again, should somebody get saved from their preaching of the gospel, what are they brought into? Okay? As we've seen in the speaking, the Lord is after something. There's something on his heart. God has a desire, right? And it is for the church, which is his body, right? His fullness to express him and represent him. So, if ones are gained and there's nowhere for them to remain, that is, there's no way for them to be built into the church, then God's heart's desire cannot be fulfilled. And ultimately, it will take longer, right, for the bride to be prepared and for our Lord to be satisfied. Okay? So I just wanted to put these forth because these are certain concepts that definitely we still see around us and are still within us. Okay? So coming to this message, I hope we can see preaching the gospel is a corporate matter. It's a matter in the body, and it's a matter for the body, because the Lord's heart's desire is for the church. Okay? So let's come in to this message and read message 1 on the outline. Every member of the body has the function, duty, responsibility to bring people to the Lord. Okay, let me read you those verse references. 1 Corinthians 9:16 through 17. For if I preach the gospel, I have no boast, for necessity is laid upon me. For woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a stewardship. Okay, Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the consummation of the age. Okay? So Christians are very familiar with these verses, especially Matthew 28:19, even calling it the Great Commission, right? And so in 1 Corinthians, we see if we preach the gospel, we have no boast, right? Because it is a necessity. Okay? For every Christian, it is a necessity to preach the gospel. Even woe to us if we do not preach the gospel. And even it is our commission, right? If we are a believer, we must preach the gospel. You know, in this line we've seen, if we are a believer, we must be in a two or three. We must be grouped and we must be in a, have a companion. Well, in this message, we additionally see that if we're a believer, we need to preach the gospel. But I hope we can see that actually these two things are not separate. Actually, our being in the twos and threes and being with companions and in a group are for the gospel. And actually, this is the way for the gospel to be our living. Right? Not just an activity, not just a large crusade, not a big in the stadium preaching, or not going out as a super Christian to get one saved. Okay? But rather, the gospel is a matter of our living, and this is because it is in the twos and threes. Okay? So, let's come to Roman 2 and read that together. Amen. We must learn. Okay? This is a matter of our learning. I hope we, from this message, we can see that this is something we're learning. So all we need really is just a start. Okay? By the end of our session, I hope all of you have the handles, the practical handles, to have a start on this matter of practicing the twos and threes for the gospel. Okay, let me read you this verse. I really enjoyed it, pre-reading this verse. Luke 10:1. Now after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to come. Amen. The Lord sent them two by two. Right? Companionship by companionship. And where did he send them? To every city and every place, what? Where he himself was about to come. Right? When we get together in our twos and threes, guess what? He himself is about to come. Right? When we pray for our friends or anyone on our hearts by ourselves, okay, that's good. We need to have that fellowship with the Lord. But when we get together with our companions, as we saw from that testimony, the Lord himself is about to come. So we see that the purpose, actually the whole purpose of us being in twos and threes, is for the gospel. It's for man's soul, right? God has a concern for man's soul. So let's read point A together. Lord, sinners, always bearing the burden for people's souls. With a praying spirit, we gain people by showing an intimate concern for them. Amen. In Luke 10, 25-37, you guys know what story is there? That's the story of the Good Samaritan, right? So in this story, just to summarize it real quick, there's a man who is stripped and beaten and left for dead on the side of the road. And what happens is that a priest comes upon him, sees him, and passes by on the other side. And then, following that, a Levite comes and passes by on the other side. And you know, a priest is one who actually is supposed to care for God's people by teaching them the law. And a Levite is one who helps and leads ones in the worship of God. Okay? But we see that the law, okay, and religion cannot help man. Okay? Only our slave Savior, the Lord Jesus, can help man. Right? And but what I want you to be impressed with in the story is that, well, comes after these two come by, a certain Samaritan walks by, and it says that he is full of compassion, right? He is full of feeling for this one. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, right? He is full of feeling for every man's soul. What he does is, with his compassion, he goes to him. He doesn't pass by, but he goes to him, binds up his wounds, pours in the oil and wine, takes care of him, and even he brings him into the inn. which signifies he brings them into the church. Okay? But here's the point. So this stripped, beaten, left for dead man, that represents us, right? And this Samaritan represents the Lord Jesus. But in verse 37, the Lord says, go, right? And you do likewise. So also, we see that this Samaritan is also us. Actually, the Lord is in us. The Samaritan is in us, right? The one full of feeling for every man's soul, right? This one is in us. And these stripped, beaten, left for dead ones are all around us, okay? Our classmates in our dorms, right, in our classes, at work, even in our family, okay? So I hope you're impressed that there are these ones around us everywhere, which is why, actually, the Lord's concept about the gospel is that it should be our living, okay? It should be our living, and even a living in our twos and threes. Okay, so with this, maybe we could have Vin, Alex, Tim, Steve, and Andy just come and give a little bit of their testimony in twos and threes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Just a little background. There is about six of us, six young people in Irvine who grew up together. And I really believe that this was the Lord's divine arrangement. We all started out just merely as friends in the church life. And I believe this also saved us at certain points in our life. But about a year and a half ago, I would say, we all had a burden to be companions. I guess I had this concept that you can't be friends with your companions, but it's okay, you can get along with them. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. But this also required a burden from each one of us to be companions with each other.
Amen. And so, one thing I was really touched with in a message about 2 days ago is that we were able to break through the pleasantries of friendship and become companions, right? And in our becoming companions, you realize instantly that the Lord got to work on the gospel through us, right? And we kind of realized that as soon as we entered into our, it's not like twos and threes, we're kind of two times three, but it's like we all instantly became burdened for gospel contacts. We all had mutual friends, and so the six of us grew up together. One brother is not here right now, but four of us go to IBC, a community college in Irvine, and there was one friend that we were all connected to, and who was connected to the church life through one relationship. And we became good friends with him, and we cared for him a bit. He came to our Bible studies, but that relationship was broken off. And so he was in danger of leaving the church life and just kind of slipping out, and we would probably never see him again. And so we were wondering, you know, how do we take care of this one? Let's bring him into our companionship. Right? And so we prayed about it, and this one today is in our companionship. He comes to our Bible studies, our home meetings. He's at the table meeting earlier than I am, right? But it was through our companionship, and the Lord really used it to bring this one fully in.
Amen. The point about us being friends first before companions is actually pretty significant, because we were friends for like 5 or 6 years. And throughout all those times, there were situations where I faced a breaking point, where I almost left the church, or I just felt like it wasn't for me. But because I had these friends, I think that's the reason why I'm still here. And then when we saw this brother, and he was at this breaking point where we might lose him, we thought, you know, we can either comfort him humanly, or we can minister Christ to him. And then that would not only comfort him, but that would bring him into the church life. And so, yeah, we endeavored to do this. We spent a lot of time praying with each other and with him. And we brought him to home meetings, and we brought him to college meetings. And it was really enjoyable all around.
Amen. So, actually, I knew this new one when I was in high school. And one of the brothers that was not here, we were all in the same class together. And even back then, I knew his background. I knew he grew up, he was raised Catholic. And then throughout his later years of high school and early years in college, he was one of the ones that, you know, went to the kind of mega churches, kind of like, you know, the Rock Harbor, that type of stuff. And then, so I kind of had my doubts of, oh, he'll probably just stay there. And, you know, we just need to, you know, just be friends with him. And we don't need to really bring him into the church life. And even when he had a connection to the club and he started coming to the Bible studies, I still kind of had doubts of, oh, he'll probably just, you know, just come to a couple of Bible studies and he probably won't, you know, come in fully. But that was where my companions came in. And really, you know, I really needed my companions there to show that, to pray for this one to really come in through his situation. And it was just surreal seeing him, you know, at the meetings, really enjoying it. And also at the college conference, he was baptized. And it was just the craziest thing that even, you know, I was just, when I was holding him, I was just thinking of that one class we were in together. It was me, I was holding him, and the other brother was also in the class. And it was just the craziest thing that the Lord, only the Lord could have brought him to Anaheim, to that college conference, to be baptized. And it was also through prayer, through much prayer. We prayed so much for this one because he was going through so many things. And I just realized that I couldn't do it on my own. Because I had doubts, I had concepts, and also practically. You know, I just can't spend all my time with him. That's why I needed companions that were also on that campus that could also spend time with him. I need the full-timers. You need the body to really bring someone in. You can't do it by yourself. You really need the body and the prayer of the body. So I just really enjoyed that through the companions, we can bring in gospel contacts and even our friends. And we also should just keep praying. Just keep pray, and pray.
So while we were all friends throughout like our 5 years or so, we'd always have like, we'd always try to text each other verses or whatever, and we'd have like group meets, but they'd only like go for like a couple days. Like Vin would probably text the most. Like I probably wouldn't look at him. But then I guess this past year more, we started having the burden individually to become companions more. And I started to pray more. And me and Steven, we go to school out of state, so it was hard for us to kind of enter into their fellowship. So what we started to do was we decided that we should have a Google Hangout and we should have more solid times of prayer. And in these prayers, so every Sunday night, we'd start to have a Google Hangout around like 9 or 10 p.m., even for like 30 minutes if possible. Steven would have to like study, so we'd do it really quick. And in these times, we would pray for the new one. And also, me and Andy, by ourselves, we would pray on every Tuesday? Sunday night, too? We'd also pray Sunday night, just for more personal burdens. And out of these times, I think there's a real effect in our speaking. And there's a real effect. And we really became more of companions that had the burden to have the stewardship that we had just ministered Christ to others. And so even though me and Stephen couldn't really enter into the personal shepherding of this new one, we could really have an impact on his situation.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. So a few things to notice from their testimony. Wow, there's so many things, actually. So many ways we can be encouraged that we all can have such a companionship for the gospel. First of all, you know, these brothers, they were just friends at first. And actually, from our conversation before, a lot of these Google Hangouts, it wasn't all praying, right? But, you know, it's okay. We have our friends and we can just do friend things, okay? But within each one of them, there was this urge, right, for it to go further, to take it the next step and become companions. And eventually, because they had such a regular time together, which included prayer, right? When certain situations happen in the environment of one of them or one of their acquaintances, there was this feeling, and they had the opportunity to bring it up in prayer, right? And we saw and we see that when two and three are gathered, there's power there, right? And so when they as a group began to pray, things began to happen, okay? And eventually this one was recovered and even going on in the church life. So their being in a companionship, really as just part of their living on a regular basis, was a strengthening when this gospel opportunity presented itself. Okay? And on top of that, through them co-shepherding or being mutual acquaintance of this one, actually this led their companionship to be strengthened. Right? Even the gospel was a strengthening to their companionship. Okay, so this is very enterable, actually, for all of us. Okay, let's continue on. Let's read point B together. The gospel should be our living and not just a work. We should live for the gospel, not being content to merely have good meetings and little growth in the church. Amen. Okay, so let's continue here. Read point C. Preaching the gospel is truly a matter of faith. We must learn to walk and work by faith, not by sight, appearance, feeling, or any kind of circumstances. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by appearance. Okay. Actually, this is a really important point. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but this really helps us in having a gospel living, because to have a realistic expectation and understanding that every time we pray for somebody, that person is not going to get saved every single time we pray, okay? But rather, there may be a period of time, okay? But if we enter into and are proactive in keeping our times of prayer, right, the Lord can eventually, right, bring them to Him. Okay, so let's continue on here to point D. When we go to preach, we must learn to speak something about Christ, the living one, not ministering doctrine, but rather the living Christ to people. Amen. We have a living Christ. In our morning times, haven't you enjoyed touching the living one? Right? And this verse 3:6, 2 Corinthians 3:6, is that we are ministers not of the letter, which kills, but of the Spirit, which gives life. Okay, so let's come to E, where there's some burden here on point E. We should not preach the gospel in an individualistic way. Rather, we should do everything corporately, in the body, through fellowship and coordination, including in our twos and threes. Okay, John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And in this verse, it says, you are the branches, right? Plural. Not just one branch, but more than one branch. And it is all the branches that bear the fruit in a way of fellowship. And consider, my major is computer engineering and computer science. So I'm not a biologist, but I did learn a little something in 10th grade biology about photosynthesis. And, a tree, okay, you have the trunk, you have branches, and on the branches there are smaller branches, and then there are leaves. And actually, what does a tree need to grow? Right? It needs to be in the soil. It needs the nutrients in the soil. It needs water, and it also needs sunlight. Okay? And what part of the tree is the most important regarding the sunlight? Okay, it's the leaves. Okay, and where are the leaves? They're on the branches. Okay, can you see this? Okay, so it is because of the leaves which are on the branches, that is, all of us, okay, that the tree is able to have this process of photosynthesis by which actually that's where the water, the minerals, and the sunlight all come together somehow, miraculously, and life can grow, okay? And eventually, what is the ultimate outcome of life? It's fruit, right? Life is life because life seeks increase, right? Because life grows. So we can see, us in our companionships, right? We're like branches. And together, what are we doing? We're soaking in the sun, right? The S-U-N, also the S-O-N. We're soaking in the Lord Jesus. And together, it makes for a healthy vine. It makes for a healthy tree. And so we can bear fruit together. Okay? So you can see there's a coordination and a fellowship involved in our bearing fruit. Okay? How about we can have another short testimony from Jane and Emily?
Hi, I'm Jane.
I'm Emily. Jane and I, we met at our community college, OCC, and then we actually transferred together to Cal Poly Pomona at the same time. I was a new one at gained off the campus at OCC, and so Jane was one of the sisters who actually took a lot of care of me when I was new. So the Lord kind of placed us in each other's lives long term. We didn't really jump right into praying together. We had more of a human relationship first. We had a lot of similar experiences in our past, a lot of things we liked and even similar dislikes. And we got built up corporately, playing sports, going out to eat, and student coordinations at our previous campus. But kind of in this way, we were opening to each other about feelings, about like struggles and our plans. And so we had kind of a burden to get built up in more of a way of prayer with and for one another. We prayed for each other's family and friends, like my parents and my best friend who aren't yet saved. And mm-hmm.
And then Emily, she entered into my burden to pray for my dad to enter into the church life.
Yeah, so it was like these were kind of issues I never really brought up, but now I had someone. I didn't want to be just by myself praying. I wanted to be with someone else praying for these kinds of things.
And so, like Emily said, we spent a lot of time together, but then also what helped build up our relationship was that we lived at the sister's house together, and we weren't roommates, but we had spent a lot of time praying together just because we were able to open to one another about these more personal matters. So it was through these prayer times that we were able to be built up to. And then later on, when we moved to Cal Poly Pomona Diamond Bar, for some circumstances, we ended up not living together. But then we realized that we needed to also, we missed each other. So we set out appointments every Monday to, like, come together and just, share with each other what happened to us throughout the week and then pray for one another during those times. And it was through these experiences of, like, being built up together that we also realized that we decided to choose each other to be gospel partners, to, like, go and preach the gospel together, because we realized that in our individual, like, by ourselves, when we go out and preach the gospel, it's not as impactful as when we go together.
Mm-hmm. So we had one experience earlier in the year at Mount Sac. It's the community college near Diamond Bar, and we preached the gospel to just a freshman student there, and she was so open, she was so receptive, she actually prayed to get saved. And that was the first time I'd ever led anyone to salvation, and I really feel like it was because of this experience going out together that was able to even happen. There was some impact. The Lord did something in that time.
There was this one other experience on our spring break trip this past spring. We went to Washington, D.C., and we went to Georgetown University, and we entered into the burden with the saints. They were really burdened to preach the gospel, and so we were paired again to, like, go preach the gospel. And before we actually talked to anyone, we prayed to the Lord that the Lord would bring the one that he wanted us to talk to. And so we talked to the first girl we saw, and she was an exchange student, and we went to talk to her, and we shared with her about the mystery of the human life. And at the end of our time, she ended up reading the prayer with us. And actually, a few months ago, our full-timer, she went back to Washington, D.C., and she told us that now she's meeting in the church in Washington.
Yeah, so these kinds of experiences were really encouraging. And they couldn't have happened if we hadn't gotten built up first together in more of a human way, in a way of kind of oneness. So because of our experiences, we know how to pick each other up when the other falls. And even when we go out to speak, I'll be saying something, I'll be speaking Christ to, like, a new one. And Jane can be inwardly praying, and she even, follows with, like, a speaking that matches and kind of even builds upon my speaking or each other's speaking. And this is really just a result of our spending so much time together, being in prayer together, being in the Word together, enjoying the body life together.
Mm-hmm. And so, can we say, because of our experiences, we've learned to love each other, not only humanly, but in Christ. And we are and that is what we want to bring others into.
So I think if we read these points, it really sums up their experience really well. So let's read point one under E. With this realization, we will work not just by ourselves, but we will ask some others to work together with us in a way of coordination. In this way, the gospel will be powerful and prevailing. Point two, if we preach Christ, that do not have fellowship and do not love one another are very limited. Amen. So I'll finish here with a pair of verses. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also would love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another, right? So even in the brothers from Irvine and all over and these sisters' testimonies, you can sense there's a love between them, right? And actually, that love is very attractive. Even one of the things that attracted me when I first met the saints, this is something that every man is seeking for, right? So when we come together and we get built up and knit together in love, there is such impact because there's the love there. And also when we get together in our twos or threes of prayers, the Lord can bind and loose. Amen. Amen. So we'll have Nathan, and he can help us on practically entering in. So how about we can read Romans 3 together.
So we need to become blended in twos or threes through mutual fellowship, prayer, and care. Who feels like they need prayer? And fellowship. Don't you sometimes really want to fellowship with somebody, but you don't know who to fellowship with? And care. Who feels like they really need care? I do. Okay. Well, let's hear a group of brothers, Elijah, Isaac, and Matthew, about their mutual fellowship, prayer, and care, and then going to contact people. Come up and share your experience.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen. Hi, Saints. I'm Elijah. I'm going to be a fourth year at UCLA. And I just wanted to share with you our testimony regarding, you know, being built up originally just to grow together, but then eventually transitioning to being burdened for the gospel. So all of this started when, you know, at the beginning of this past year, I came to realize that I wasn't as built or blended with the other brothers that I was living with as I wanted to be. And, you know, just like the Irvine brothers' testimony, I wanted to go beyond, you know, just the realm of friendship, just the realm of, you know, pleasantries, really into something real, something eternal. So, you know, I began to pray to the Lord, considering, you know, Lord, who are some brothers a little younger than me that I could be built and blent with and that we could really cooperate with you with? And lo and behold, the Lord brought me these two. And so we set a time together every week just to do what we called accountability appointments. And once a week, we would meet up in our student union and we'd get together and we just open to one another goals that we had regarding growth in Christ. So, for example, I had a goal that I wanted to make a habit of touching the Lord in the afternoon, not only in the morning and in the meetings. And they also had their own goals. And we would just check up with one another. And we made sure that we would just pray for one another to reach these goals. And we just did our best to ensure that these appointments were as vital as possible. You know, we weren't there to do this or that. We just wanted to be living. We wanted to make sure we were all growing in life together.
Amen. Yeah, actually, Our original plan was to have some time of prayer for each other and then get into the book of John. But what it ended up turning into was we had an hour time slot, and it was about, you know, 45 to 50 minutes of prayer, and then we get into like two or three verses of John. And I always wish there was more time after, but then we all hallelujah, we went to the Bible study right after. So in going on from developing from this just accountability appointments, we ended up having this feeling to just pray for certain names, pray for ones that we cared for. And even in the beginning, it was such a normal thing that we just asked the Lord, Lord, give us one or two names on our heart. Right? We didn't want a huge list of 10 people we wanted to get saved, but just one or two. And the Lord was faithful to answer these prayers. We came together week by week, every week, the same time. And we just consistently prayed for each other's burdens, for our friends. And eventually, after gaining these names on our hearts, it was so good. The times of prayer, I was so nourished. Even though we might think our praying for the gospel is only solely for other people to get saved, for our caring for man's soul, I personally was so nourished by these prayer times. And even in this experience, I really felt the strength and the power of the prayer in the twos and threes. The harmonious prayers that were mentioned before, I could really feel that in our prayer times, we were able to move the Lord. We were able to cause the Lord to move in our friends.
Amen.
And even in my personal experience, we had a gospel meeting. And when this came up, each of us had burdens for our friends to bring to the gospel meeting. And it didn't matter, you know, what their condition was, what the situation was, whether they were open, whether, you know, we didn't get to talk to them. We just, every time, it was always one of us gave a report for a person's name, and then we prayed. And the next person gave another report, and we prayed. And there was so much prayer. Hallelujah. My friend came to the gospel meeting.
Amen.
Someone that I thought, you know, was so far off, maybe never would have even considered coming to the gospel meeting. But through this prayer, we each entered into one another's burden. And we were really able to move the Lord so that He could gain what He wanted.
Amen. Yeah, so we would bring up names every week. And every week it would be the same names over and over and over again. And just praying together really something that issued out of this for me personally. There was a morning when I was showering and I was singing and praying to the Lord. And suddenly the Lord led me to pray for Matt and Elijah's burdens. And it was so spontaneous and so vital. And I just really wish that each and every saint here could experience this. Amen. That the Lord would lead them to pray for someone else's burden. It's a very refreshing and enjoyable experience.
Amen.
When you stop praying about yourself, your own problems, your own situations, and you have the opportunity to pray for someone else without having to force yourself to do so.
Yeah.
I know for many of us, it's hard to, in and of ourselves, have a heart for man. And many of us don't. I know for sure that I don't. But, you know, through prayer and through each other's burdens being wrought into our being, you know, it's so spontaneous. It's just an issue of life, and we don't have to try so hard. And it's not so much out of a sense of right or duty. We're like, oh, I have to pray for this guy or he's not going to be saved. But we just have such a burden for each other, such a burden for the Lord's move, that spontaneously our prayer is released.
Amen.
And in this way, the Lord can move. And the Lord can move in their hearts.
Amen.
And the Lord can have His way, free way to move in your campus.
Yeah, Saints, I just really want to say that it's a real privilege that we can be members of the same body. And we should really take advantage of this fact. You know, just to encourage you all, we didn't originally get together for the sake of preaching the gospel. Just like it says in Roman numeral 3 in your outline, we just took care of the fellowship. We made sure we were all in the same life flow. And spontaneously, out of it, the Lord made His will known to us. He said, you know, it's great that you guys are growing together, but how about the outflow? What about the issue of this companionship? And it's that you have a responsibility to have your friends get saved.
Amen.
And we said, Lord, amen. And because we had already taken care of the life relationship between the three of us, we didn't need to worry about being religious, being so zealous, being only outward. But everything was an issue of life. So saints, just go on, get companions, and just take care of the flow.
Amen.
Spontaneously, the Lord will have a way to move.
Well, that kind of encapsulates the entire message. Okay, so if you're listening, you got it. Okay, and so I'll highlight some things and I'll point some things out, but pretty much that's the basis of this message, and that's where we're going. So, you can see by the way these brothers, what their experience was like. They feel like their Christian life has direction, right? Their Christian life is not flat. It's full of joy, even the fullness of joy. Our Christian life, some of us may experience it just personally, you know, us and the Lord. And maybe we touch a little bit of the companionship. But even if we have just the Lord and some companions without this other dimension of fruit bearing, then our Christian life really doesn't have direction. And so this gives us direction. We're not lost among all the things that we do, school, jobs, you have your family situations, financial situations. You have direction. And so this other line of fruit bearing with companions and the Lord as life gives us direction. So one thing that they did was they took life as their source. So I'm going to give you, I'll back up. I'm going to give you how to bear fruit with companions. Just a few little points. And, you know, it's all here in the message. I'm just pulling out a few things that I enjoy. How to bear fruit with companions. So first, it's a for me to you, no, to me, for you, life. That means life is the source. You have to touch life. There has to be some enjoyment. And you bring that enjoyment to your companions. A lot of times what I like to do is I have some personal reading in the ministry or the morning revival or a hymn that I enjoyed or just one little line from the word or a footnote. And I like to bring that sometimes to the people I gather together with to pray. And that just helps increase the source, the enjoyment of life that we have together. And then also, there's love there, you know, an openness. So I like this verse, Jeremiah, to go with that. Jeremiah 17:8, and he will be like a tree transplanted beside water, which sends out its roots by a stream and will not be afraid when heat comes, for its leaves remain flourishing. And it will not be anxious in the year of drought and will not cease to bear fruit. So hopefully this will be all of us, all of our companionships will be like this. So number two, make a list. There was a brother that was in my home meeting that he was gained because a brother made a list. So he must have sat down and considered, who do I want to pray for? Who do I know? I have this classmate, that acquaintance, that workmate, that friend, and he composed a list. And then he was faithful to bring that list to a group of brothers, and they would just pray. And even this brother that eventually got saved, he wasn't at the top of the list, you know. He probably wasn't the one that was like, oh man, if he could just receive the Lord. He's one of the ones they didn't expect to receive the Lord, you know. But he made it to the list. So make a list. Even if your list is quite small, it's okay. And then, point three, bring that list to a set time. So set a time. Like the brothers, they set a time and they kept it. They met for about an hour. We all have busy schedules. I don't know if you have your planner that you write down your schedule on or if you have your phone. But look for a time in your week that you can gather with your companions, preferably face to face, and meet with them. To just open and pray for what's on your heart. And when you pray for that one that's on your list, that is picking up the burden, right? There is a burden there, but maybe you don't pick it up until you pray for it. So just once a week, meet. And I enjoyed the sisters. They even prayed for the prayer time. They realized things are going to come in. Right? You're going to have tests. You're going to have work schedules are going to change. But you have to fight to keep some kind of prayer time together week by week. So fight for that. And meet habitually, regularly, and constantly. I like those words. Just make it a habit to set a time. Okay. I like these verses in Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always concerning you. Right? Always praying. And also 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I like this, steadfast. Just be steadfast, immovable. Do what you can to keep that time. Okay, number four, make yourself available. You know, with this one brother, that was in my home meeting, like I said before, how he received the Lord was the brother that was praying for him, they would study together for tests because they were in the same class. And so it just so happened, the brother asked, hey, would you like to come over and study? Right? So one way to make yourself available is to study with them. To call them, to see how you're doing. When you're walking in, you know, in the same area as them, and you see them coming, don't, you know, kind of look away. You know? Approach them. Say how you're doing. Even if you're having a bad day, it's okay. You're like, oh man, I'm not really enjoying the Lord right now. I don't want to really, you know, give them my death or whatever you're thinking. But just go and talk to them. Don't turn away, because we all have that feeling sometimes, right? So make yourself available. And eventually, like this brother, they got together and they studied for their test. And they had been praying a lot. And now they're studying. And they're just focusing on the test. And then, out of nowhere, while they're studying, this one gospel friend says, what's the Bible all about? And the other brother says, well, do you want to talk about that right now? Because we're studying. We've got a test tomorrow. And he said, yeah, let's talk about it. So he starts talking to him about it, starts telling him about the Bible and God's purpose. And he said, you want to get back to studying now? He goes, no, this is great. And so they just put down their material and he started speaking to him about the Lord. The brother got saved. And then they flunked the test the next day. So, but it's so, the Lord, he just made himself available. But he still graduated and then he went on to grad school. It's okay. But this, you know, making yourself available is this word. And in John 15:16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Maybe you don't think you're an evangelist or something like that, but he chose us. And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit. So this is our going, you know. Doesn't mean you have to walk around on the campus and preach the gospel with your companions, which is also really good. But also just contacting the people that you have a heart for. And let them know that you're a Christian. That's also an important aspect. Like the reason he asked them what the Bible's about, because he knew he was a Christian. He didn't keep it hidden, like, you know. But of course, if you're enjoying the Lord, how could you not let people know you're a Christian, right? So number five, look for the opening. This means just open your mouth also. Look for the opening. You know, like that brother, he just asked a question. There's an opening. So you wait till there's an opening. And then when there's an opening, you're just faithful to say something. There's a verse in Acts 35, the Ethiopian eunuch is Acts 8:35. Philip is speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch. And he said, you know, who is this in the Bible? Is this Elijah that they're talking about? Or is this someone else to come? And says, in 8:35, it says, and Philip opened his mouth. And beginning from the scripture, he announced Jesus as the gospel to him. Amen. So he just opened his mouth and then it came out. Praise the Lord for opening our mouths. There's some other stories I have, but I would like to call up Samuel and just have him give his experience and the prayer in twos and threes for the gospel.
Amen. So my freshman year of college, I met this guy in one of my classes. And from there, you can say that we built a really good friendship. That summer, we started working together. And after that summer, we would start taking classes together. So you can say that basically our whole day, we would spend time together a lot. But, you know, when I was at the college training, you know, the brother was asking, sorry, this was last year, last college training. The brother was asking me, you know, maybe if you have somebody you can bring to the Lord. And initially I had no one, but the Lord touched me that, you know, I should probably bring my, this friend, to the Lord. And my response was, you know, there's no way, you know, this is, he's a really smart person, very philosophical with his, thinking. But anyways, when I came back from the National College Training, I would just, you know, pray with the Lord, individually firstly. I would, you know, ask the Lord if this is really according to your will, if maybe this one should be saved. Anyways, I was praying by myself for at least a couple of months, 2-3 months. And eventually, the Lord led me to my companion. And from there, so this companion is my age. And I just brought it up to him, like, you know, I have this one friend, and I don't know what to do. The Lord has brought me, brought him to my life, but I don't know how I can respond to his calling. So we started praying together. And it was also so happened that my friend had a burden for another one. So every week we would call each other and we would pray about our friends. And his friend became my burden. And my friend also became his burden through our prayers. And it was from this prayer that, you know, it went on for a really long time and nothing really happened. So I have also another companion who is a little older than me. And I brought it up to him that, you know, I have this one friend that I wanna preach the gospel to, but I don't know what to do. So we would stop praying. Actually, my prayer, it was really, Lord, I really don't know what to do, but I just trust in you. I trust in your timing. I trust that you will give me the opportunity to speak something. I don't know when it is, but if the time is right, I'm open to speak. Anyways, this was going on, at least this was going on for 6-7 months already. And my friend who has a friend, you know, the friend that we were praying for, he eventually got saved. And, you know, in me, I was like, well, I guess he can be saved, but maybe my friend is a little too much. Maybe, but, you know, anyways, I just kept praying. I just felt, sometimes I would feel, I'll feel down because, you know, when we pray for his friend, you know, we went on from just saving him to ushering him into the church life, to bringing this one to be taken care of by the saints. But when I prayed for my friend, you know, I was still stuck in the realm of, oh, Lord, just give an opportunity for me to speak. But anyways, this was going on for a while. And, you know, I don't know how long this has been, but, you know, eventually the college student now in our locality, we would come together before the Lord's table meeting, or even after the Lord's table meeting, and we would all just come together and pray about what is in our heart, what is a burden that you have. So I brought out my friend that I really want to save. Anyways, after about, I think, 2 months of praying with all the college students, and several months before praying with my companions, there was an opportunity that came up. Actually, there was a gospel meeting in our locality. So at work, I asked my friend, you know, I have this barbecue that you can come. We had a barbecue for dinner that night. So I told him that he can come if he wants, and I told him that that was a short gospel meeting after if he wants to say. Anyways, I was really surprised that he wanted to come. He actually had a really good response about it. So he came to the gospel meeting. At the end of the gospel meeting, he prayed to the Lord that he would receive the Lord. And my response was, I was really shocked. You know, after this time of prayer, I thought that he would, you know, the Lord was not answering my prayer. But eventually, the Lord brought him to the gospel meeting and, you know, led him to pray for him to receive the Lord. So the next following week, I brought him to a college meeting. And he was really enjoying the matter of calling on the Lord to receive him. You know, my response was, oh, amen. I didn't know what to say. But I was just really praying that, you know, looking back, you know, I thought this one was just going to be a really good friend of mine. But eventually, you know, through much prayer, steadfasting, the Lord brought him to him. And, you know, it was really all through the prayers. Amen. I'm really touched by that, you know, this whole experience. And I really thank my companion, you know, all the two companions that have been praying with me and all the college students. You know, it's really through all the prayer. You know, looking back, I don't think I really said much anything to him about the Lord. But it was because of my praying for him to receive him, the Lord opened up the opportunity for him to even come to a gospel meeting. And from there, he was able to be saved. Amen.
Aren't you so happy to live in the time that we have today? I mean, we're not going on in an old way, the way of preaching the gospel that we had in the past, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. But now we're going on in a way where we're the members of the body of Christ, able to function and enjoy functioning. So I'm just so encouraged that we have direction. I hope that this morning more of y'all can see how to pursue the Lord in your situation and on your campus. And you're a little bit more encouraged to take another step forward in this direction. So let's read the focus all together.